morning. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to Psalm 66, please? This week, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. And we all do that in different ways, don't we? Some of us are going to be traveling home to see family or having family come stay with us. Some of us are going to spend the day planning out our football watching. Some of us are going to watch the parade. There will be traditional feast of turkey and dressing, and then non-traditional things. I know for a few years my mom and dad decided to do ethnic foods on Thanksgiving, which was weird. But everyone does something, right? Some of you maybe are more excited about shopping, and you strategize what you're going to do Thursday night and then early Friday morning than you are about the actual day of Thanksgiving. We know the traditions. We all have different ones. We know the history of Thanksgiving. We know the story. All of that is coming this week, and today what I want to do is spend some time giving thanks to our God, because it's quite possible that in the busyness of the holiday and the celebration, that the actual pausing and turning to God and giving Him praise for all the great things He's done in our lives will maybe get just a sliver of our time, if any at all. And so we're going to take some time this morning to do that. We're going to hear from a few people I've asked to share their testimonies this morning. People who have gone through some things this year that they can turn now towards the end of the year and say, praise God, He's good. So we're going to do that. I want to go through Psalm 66 with you this morning. And then at the end of the service, I want to give us a time as a church body to just pause and reflect on how God has been good to us this year. And then turn and give Him praise and thanksgiving. So a little bit different service, but that's what I want to take us through today. So would you bow your heads and we'll pray before we get into Psalm 66. Oh God, You are good, and I praise Your holy name, and I'm thankful for Your awesome works in my own life and in my family's life. I thank You for what You're doing within our church. I thank You that You have sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And each and every day You're making us more and more like Your Son until one day we'll be like Him in glory. Praise Your name, Jesus. And I just pray that as we begin to look at this text in the Scripture and we hear from our brothers and sister, I just pray that you give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to pause and say, thank You, Jesus. Let us be encouraged. Let us be built up as a church. We love You and we praise Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Psalm 66, verses 1 through 7 to start off. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies come cringing to You. All the earth worships You and sings praises to You. They sing praises to Your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. We'll stop right there. What we have here in these first seven verses is a general call for all of God's people who have been saved by God's grace to turn to Him and give Him glory. And it's so important that we heed this call, that we learn to cultivate this practice and cultivate this heart to not only think about and meditate on God's goodness for all the things He's done for us, but also to learn how to praise Him and make that an actual part of who we are. We are people who praise God, and we do it with our lives, we do it with our voices, we do it with the stories we tell, we do it with the way we pray. We are people who praise God. And here in these verses, we see examples of how to do this in two ways, publicly and personally. And I think that there are two great obstacles to these two ways, fear and busyness. So I want to take a few moments to talk through this, and then we'll move on. But publicly, we see the call here in these first seven verses to shout for joy to God. When you shout, it is a public thing, is it not? To sing glory of his name. So we sing, and when people hear song, it attracts their ears. They hear it, and there's melody to it, and there's rhyme and reason to it. And people hear the story in the song. We see the call to call others to come and see what God has done in our lives. It's like when we buy something or we make something that we're really excited about, we're really proud of, and we show it to other people, and we say, check this out. This is awesome. That's the call that we have here when it comes to what God has done in our lives, to bring people in our lives and say, look what God has done. Look at it. Look how he's provided for me and my family. I want to share with you what God has done there. Or look how God has healed. Look how he's healed me. Look how God has taken care of us. Let me tell you how God has saved me. Let me tell you how God has held me up in the midst of trial when I thought I could not stand on my own. We are not to be shy about our public praise to God. And the obstacle I feel that keeps many of us from publicly praising God. Oh, we might be thankful here, but we don't talk about it, is the fear of man. We're fearful of what people will think of us. We're fearful to expose any vulnerability in front of other people. So when we come together on Sunday mornings, for example, we just sing songs of praise to our God. There are some here who will not sing. You will not open your mouths. Because you just don't do that in public. Guys, men especially, there are many men who believe they're too manly to sing praises to their God. Why? Is he not worthy of your praise, gentlemen? Brothers, has he not provided for you? Has he not saved your souls? We should feel convicted over that. It's disobedient to Scripture to not sing to God. It's ignoring the example that's in God's word of great godly men who let God's praises be known by the way they sang. Think of Moses after they went through the Red Sea, the song they sang. Think of David and all the psalms we have here. God's men sing to him. They're not ruled by fear. Our God is worthy of public praise and thanksgiving and testimony. Let us fight against the fear that keeps us from giving it. And then we got personal praise, personal thanksgiving. We see the call here to do that too, where we have all these things that tell us to shout and tell others about God. We also see, tell God, declare to God, how marvelous are your deeds. And I feel the enemy or obstacle of this in my heart personally is busyness. How often I don't take the time to just pause and take notice of all the great things God has done for me. And I just blow through life. I have to discipline myself to stop and remember that God has saved me and be thankful that God has saved me. I have to discipline myself to turn and praise God for my salvation. That's not something that comes naturally. It's not my default when I'm spending money to stop and say, man, God, thank you for giving this money to me and my family. That's not our default. Most of us don't do that. It's not my default in the mornings. Usually I get up in the mornings and I'm a easy waker, I guess. My wife says I'm like a toddler. The alarm goes off and I'm up and I'm running around. But I get up and I just go. I hit the ground running. And how often do I forget to stop and say, God, thank you for watching over me and my family as we slept last night. We were at our most vulnerable. You kept watch over us. We don't do that. That's not the norm. And I have to wonder how many of us are there. How many of us deal with that? How many of us forget to praise God for our salvation? How many of us forget to praise God for our general health? When was the last time you stopped and said, Lord, thank you for my kids. Lord, thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my grandkids. When was the last time you did that in prayer? When was the last time you thanked God for providing for you and your family through the very job that you spend most of your time complaining about? We have to learn to cultivate this. This is not something that comes naturally. And we're called to praise him privately, personally. I love listening to Chuck pray, Chuck Thompson. Have you ever noticed some of the things he prays for? I'm sorry, but I love listening to him pray. You know why? Because he thanks God for things that I forget to thank God for. So even today we heard him, Lord, thank you. In his prayer, he says, Lord, thank you for prayer. Did you catch that? Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for providing a way for us to communicate with you. I don't remember to thank God for prayer in the middle of my prayers. Or, Lord, thank you for being the God that you are. I try to follow that example, man. That's good stuff. We have to fight against the busyness of our lives and our minds and cultivate a habit of personal praise and thanksgiving to our God. Let's go back to the text here. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us, and you have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. And I just want to go through this last section really rapidly because I want to give time for people to speak. But do you catch the language here? We need to learn to bless and praise God for our trials and delivering us through our trials. You see what he says there? He starts out, Lord, thank you for you've kept our soul among the living. And then at the end, he says, thank you because you've brought us to a place of abundance. And then look at the language there. He says, God, you laid the burden on our back. You put us in the net. You've tested us. These trials that we suffer through, the mourning that we go through, the illnesses that we go through, the financial hardships that we go through, the family turmoil. If God is sovereign, he's allowing us to go through these things because he's trying us as silver in a furnace. And what we see here in the Psalms is the example of how we should praise God for that, because as Christians, as believers, he helps us stand firm in the midst of those trials. That's the example we have here. So whatever you've been going through, turn and praise God that you're still standing and your soul is kept among the living in the midst of it. There is something to praise God for in the midst of that suffering. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. And this week of Thanksgiving, give him thanks for that. Let's move on. Verse 13. It says, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Our God-honoring response to his deliverance that he brings in our lives from trials is worship and praise and thanksgiving. That's our God-honoring response. That's what we owe him. That's all we can give him, his glory. And then we get to the very last part, verse 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. If our God-honoring response is worship and praise, our church edifying response, our church building up response is declarative testimony, telling others, other brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to give God the glory when they hear the story, telling them about the great things God has done. That's the example we have here in the Psalms. Not ignoring that trial has come and praising God in the midst of trial, then worshiping God in the midst of deliverance, and then turning and telling others and praising him in the midst of that. Because we can do that. You know why we can do that? That last verse there. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer. Do you know why he has not rejected your prayer? Because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. And so your prayers are going through the beloved Son of God, and he will not reject those prayers. And all we can do to that is say, hallelujah, praise God. He's not removed his steadfast love from me. In the midst of trial, what can you say thank you to Jesus for? He loves you. He loves you. His love is eternal. His love is faithful. Though you hurt now, one day that'll all be gone because of this love that is steadfast. And that's what we say thank you for. That's what we praise God for. That's where I hope our hearts go this week when we do Thanksgiving. It's not just a cultural holiday. As a Christian, we can hijack this holiday and use it to praise God and give him thanks. And we should. How dare we not? We're called to be different from the rest of the world. And in this way, we are very different. Because we stand under the blood of Christ. And our love from God is guarded by the blood of Christ. What I want to do now is I've asked a few people who would speak. We did this last year because I think it's important that you not just hear from me, but you hear from others in the church about how God is moving in their lives. And so we can thank God together. I've asked a few that have not been able to make it because of family things going on, sickness and things, but we have two this morning that I want to share. And so I know they're both nervous, and I've not told them who's going first. But I'm going to ask Steve Cordo, you're closest, so you get to come up first, man. I'll get the mic for you over here.
Steve, if you don't know me, I am Sarah's dad. Everybody knows Sarah. Can I just pray real quick, if you don't mind? Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for being with me throughout this today. I am nervous, very nervous. Just thank you for my family. Thank you for my preacher, Ben. Thank you for all the people that's here today, Lord. Just thank you for this building. I just want you to give me the words to glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you. All right, I really don't know why I'm here. First of all, the Lord had laid it on my heart when I came out of my last surgery. I had no pain. It was unbelievable. And then Ben showed up, and I was telling him about it. I said, I wish I could get up and tell everybody how good I felt. How the Lord was with me. He said, well, you know, there may be that chance. And I'm thinking, I opened my mouth way too soon. So, you know, a couple days go by, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, don't let this go. I don't want to do this, you know. And he called me up and said, hey, you know, when you said you may be able to speak, I said, no, I don't remember that. But anyway, so, you know, I said, yes, I would do it. I don't know why I said yes, but I did. But anyway, let me get back to my story. I've probably been sick since I was 12 years old. I had my first surgery when I was 13. I had to find out that I was going to have a kidney transplant. And so life went on. I had a few more surgeries to get ready for the transplant. Ended up having probably five or six more. My transplant was in 96. When I, back up just a little bit. I got baptized probably a month before that. When I got baptized, I came out of the water thinking everything was great. The Lord's got me. I will not ever have any more surgeries. He will heal me. I thought that was the way it was going to be. Well, I still had to have my transplant. So funny that I was on the list. I had to go on dialysis. I was on dialysis for 4 years. After I got baptized, the next probably 3 or 4 weeks, I had my transplant. They called me for my transplant in like 3 weeks after I got baptized. I got my kidney. I thought, well, this is it. The Lord took care of me again. I won't have any more surgeries. I ended up having to have more surgeries. My back, I had to have two rods, eight screws put in. The next time what happened ended up happening, I had to have more surgery on my back. I went in and I ended up having more rods put in, more screws. But after when I came out, I had no pain. I have to give thanks to God. I mean, I've been through 17 surgeries. And he's took me through every one of them with no pain. Everybody goes, well, how do you go through that? I don't know. I don't have any pain. I was on painkillers for a little while, you know. I'm still on a bit of a patch, but I have no pain with my back. I have no pain with my kidney. My kidney is doing great for 20 years. And they said, oh, you'll be lucky if you get 10 years out of it. I'm on 20 years on my transplant. I mean, I cannot give thanks enough. And I got to give it to Ben for saying, you know, go back a little bit. I had MRSA, and I don't know if anybody knows what that is. I didn't know what it was. It's some kind of blood disease. I got it. I was laying in bed with my wife was always next to me. And I looked at her and told her then that I was so tired of fighting, I was ready to go home. And it was just, I had to just give it to the Lord. I was so tired of fighting after so many surgeries. I was ready to go home. And I turned around and said, I hate to tell her that I was giving up, but I knew where I was going. I was going home no matter what. The Lord had me, and I was ready to go. I was so tired of fighting with all the surgeries. And after that, I had my last back surgery. I just feel so much better that I gave it to the Lord, that I know that I'm going home no matter what, that I don't have to fight anymore. There's no more fight in me. I know where I'm going. I don't know, you know, I can't tell you. I got to give this one thing. If my wife would stand up. Stand up. This is my wife. This is my friend. She is my nurse. She is my secretary. And yesterday she was my hunting partner. We went hunting. And you know, I think we could not do all this. I could not do anything if it wasn't for my God. I mean, I would not be standing here ever, because this is the first time I've ever had to do this. And I want to say, I hope this is my last. But I just want to tell you, to make sure that you're saved, because there is nothing more important in this world than make sure you're ready to go home, because I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Isabel. That's a pretty thick stack of papers you got there, Isabel. Oh, okay. This is Isabel Alsman.
I'm nervous, guys. Sorry. But first, I'd like to say thank you to my Heavenly Father for providing me with unconditional love and allowing me to be His child. Next, I'd like to thank my family, especially Sarah, for putting up with me, because when you have a lot of steroids, you get cranky, and I have to have that every other week. And last, I'd like to thank this church, who has kept me in their prayers and who sent cards. Mailed them when I really needed, they seemed to arrive. From May through September, I have been going through two storms, one being separated and through divorce through Brent, and the other not knowing if the cancer came back, how fast it's growing. They couldn't seem to find it. But I only really was concerned about one thing, which was my marriage with Brent. That was all I could think. I went through anguish, despair. Nothing seemed to matter, but I thank God because He allowed me to go through. We had words, and not bad words, you know, but you know what I mean, every day. But at the end, I always thought, you know, God, your will be done, because He knew what was best. I begged and I pleaded for a miracle, I listen to WBGL, and they always had those miracle songs. I thought, well, I'm thankful for them, but you're not going to give me mine. I just knew it. A lady from the Huck Center said, please just, well, she was going through the same thing. She was my nurse with Dr. Kuna Peretti, and she said, I had to lay it all down. She said, you know, you need to lay flat on the ground in the front room. She said, I just had to give it to God, and he took care of it. So I thought, after about week five, I'll try that. So me and the dogs went out for a walk, is outside, and I finally said, okay, Lord, I give it to you. If you're not going to give me Brent, please just open his eyes, you know, through the destruction he was going through. He was going through that midlife crisis. And I have no clue why my mother-in-law did not like me, but I had to let all that anger go. So I told Lord, you know, I've got to let that go as well. And when I did that, I felt such peace beyond any understanding. I was okay with it. Later on that day, my sister, who never calls, you know, she's not a phone person, from Kokomo, called me and said that she was praying for me. And that was probably around 10 o'clock. At 2 p.m., I got a text from Brent, who said, I'm dropping all proceedings. I don't want the divorce as well. So only God could do that. It was his perfect timing. Then I realized I was going through that because God wanted my love. He wanted me to put him first, and that he is the lover of my soul. Nothing, that joy that I felt. So on the day that divorce was supposed to be final, September the 19th, Brent was taking me to my first chemo treatment. So God is just so good that he heard your guys' prayers, my pleading, my begging, my praying. But I still had, from May through September, I went through 3 CT scans, 2 PET scans, 2 liver biopsies. The PET scans, the CT scans, and my cancer markers kept going up, but the liver biopsies came back benign. But my doctor, he said, I know there's something there. So I went through another series of CT, PET scan, and liver biopsy, and they finally found it. So on September the 14th, my sister Kathy and Sarah went with me to my appointment when he gave me my news. He said, I have stage 4 liver cancer, no cure. But I was okay with it. He said, you either have 6 months if you take no treatment, you have 6 months to live, 1 to 2 if you take your treatments. I'm going for 9 or 10. But, you know, going to chemo and then you have a biological drug with it, it's really rough. But I know he's with me. I know he'll take good care of me. And if he decides to heal my body and give me a second miracle or take me home, I'm okay with it. God is really good, and I know he loves me. And without him, I can do nothing. You know, my favorite thing is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I know he's going to help me with my support of work, family, church, everybody. I know I'm going to make it. I'll get through it. Thank you.
Did you catch the theme in both of those? God answers prayer. Did you hear that? God answers prayer. As they declare how good God is and how awesome are his deeds, what can you say? What's in your heart? What I want to do now is, if you notice, some of you have a bulletin. You'll see this on the back. It says, what are you thankful for? If you don't have one, it's really, you can do this in your head. You can write it down on the back of your hand, pull something out of your purse or your Bible. But we have 6 blanks. Maybe some of you have more things to say than 6. Maybe some of you have less that you can think of. But what I want to do is just take a few moments of silence for you to get alone with God in your head and write some things out. What are you thankful to God for? And for some of you, it's just going to pour out. And for some of you, you've got to thump your head a little bit to think. But take some moments right now and do that. And I'm going to ask the worship team, or at least Gail, can you come up and be ready, because we're going to have a time of worship after this. But just take some moments. I'm going to pray, and then we'll give you some silence. Father, I pray that you open our eyes to who you are. Open our eyes to your goodness. Open our eyes to the way you've taken care of us. You've created us for your glory, to turn and point others towards you, to turn and look to you ourselves and hope in you. So, Father, I pray that in this moment, as we think of ways to thank you and praise you, reasons for that, help us to see, please, dear God. Amen. Just take a few moments right now.